welcome to the Higher Dimensions. This is Phyllis Pricer, your hostess for this hour's entertainment on BBSRadio.com. Again, we are being brought to you by Comfort One Shoes at Union Station, 202-408-4947. Wonderful shoes, wonderful prices. Feel free to call, talk to them, talk to Lamont. He's the manager, and talk to the assistant manager. That's Comfort One Shoes at Union Station. At any rate, this evening, I thought it would be wonderful to perhaps talk to you or have people call in and get readings. I love doing readings on past lives, so that's what I thought I'd do this evening. Meanwhile, we can talk about other things, about what it's like to get into doing past readings. And, oh, by the way, before I forget, I did have surgery last week, and it's successful. I can see a little bit more each day, which is wonderful. And I'm hoping that my vision and the doctor thinks my vision will come back to where it should be, which is perfectly normal. So thank you all who had a kind thought for me and prayed for me. And I so much appreciated Akira and Mary Ellen taking over my hour last week. That was wonderful for them to do that. And I really think they are just wonderful, wonderful human beings to help me out. The other thing is, with regard to seeing past lives, that's one of the abilities that one has. And of what use is it to see a past life? I mean, many people really think that, we all think that we were Cleopatra or Joan of Arc or some great and wondrous person in the past. And I guess in a sense we do have past lives that had wondrous lifetimes, marvelous experiences. But the main reason to check out a lifetime is really to find out who we were and what we did with the opportunities that were presented to us to grow in that lifetime. Because each lifetime is a gift, a particular gift in which we can learn to make decisions. And it's sort of like, if you've ever seen that movie Groundhog Day, where the guy keeps going over it and over and over until he gets it right, well, to my mind, this is all my opinion, it's sort of like that. We go over things until we actually get it right. I don't believe that we're condemned to eternal wheel of fate and to have a fickle finger of fate award or be destroyed or not given opportunities, because I think the good Lord provided us with multiple opportunities that we have an ability to take to chance on lifetime after lifetime. And as we progress and we get it, then we move on to the next perfectly marvelous opportunity that awaits us in this growth cycle of ours. Also, the other aspect of multiple lives is that, and this is the hardest thing to grasp and took me a while, is the understanding that there isn't time, that everything is quite frankly going on at the same time. Time is like a spiral. It's not like a cornucopia or a trumpet or a linear line. It's like a spiral that just keeps turning and turning. And so we have the opportunity to meet each other on the different spirals as we grow along our pathway back to the source of one that all there is. So as I said, if there's anybody out there who would like a mini lifetime reading or just to learn about one lifetime, I can't go into too great a detail on the phone with people, but I'd be more than happy to give a lifetime reading. Some of the lifetimes that I've had, and there's some reference to it in the Bible, I've had reflections or hints of lifetimes at various times in my life, and this is true of everyone. If you have a particular dream about a certain time period that feels really comfortable and familiar to you, that is usually an indication that that was a lifetime in which you had a life in which we lived and you had a meaningful contribution to make. Sometimes we live old traumas, okay? Very often in past lifetimes, if we died in a particular way, a traumatic death, we might come back, for example, wearing a scar. If we had a blow to the head, we might come back with a strawberry mark on our head. If we died by a bullet wound, we might have a round-shaped birthmark somewhere on our body. Lifetimes, that which impacts the human body emotionally tends to leave its mark on the physical body. So if you have something like that, you might want to look into the fact that that was indeed a mark from a past lifetime. It's not only negative, however, so I need to point that out to you, because sometimes people who have done service to others in that lifetime, they were healers, what have you, they come back in this lifetime with hands that are just beautiful and graceful. You just looked at them and, oh, gee, I wish I had hands like that. But when we do things with ourselves and our bodies, we manage to bring back the good with us as well. So we bring back the ability to heal, the ability to work with the sick or the elderly. We come back with certain capacity for certain gifts. So all of these things are indicators of past lives that we have lived with others. Sometimes in dreams, we have a thought of being in the Civil War and having conflicting emotions. And, you know, a lot of Civil War reenactors go into the reenactment arena specifically to help work out, perhaps in the drama phase, what they went through. I know they do spirit releasement on the battlefields. This is what I have been told, that they do spirit releasements on the battlefields when they do reenactments. And I think that is a wonderful gift, because some people, some souls, don't know that they have died and are not ready to move on, or have forgotten to move on into the new life. And so this is one wonderful way that we today, people today, have of helping those who have died on our battlefields by giving them this wonderful opportunity. Ghosts are those who have lived and died. The more emotional tied, the more emotional traumatic event there was, the greater the emotion that was tied to whatever happened, the more likely there is to be a replaying of the event. Some are just what they call psychic, replays, I guess. They go over and over. They're repeat performances, and they're not really ghosts. And that's when something's reenacted over and over and over again with no variation, monotony. And it fades with time. Others, when they have a tendency to do the reenactment and it comes back again and again, but it doesn't tend to fade with time. And when the souls are finally released, they just one day walk into the light. So by doing spirit releasement of those who have died in such places at such times, we are doing a tremendous service to help those souls move forward and through our prayers and our good wishes and our guidance, and letting them know that they can now move on to the light. They don't have to stay there and be held back. Let's see. Some of the other things. In dreams, if you find yourself gravitating towards a certain time and place, for example, and you have a really eerie feeling, or when you go somewhere for the first time and the place looks familiar, you know, like you've been to a building before or a house, and you're thinking, how could I do this? This is the first time that I've ever been here. This is a soul recognition, you see, of you being in a place before. And it happens sometimes when you are traveling around in the United States or in other countries. Sometimes you come from another country centuries ago. So it's not unusual, and that's called sort of deja vu. And that's what that portion of the past life is like. It's certainly deja vu. There are other portions of the dreams of familiarity, a liking for a particular culture or people, a facility, an ability to speak a particular language easily, or to understand the particular religious teachings of a particular sect or group, all of these, even being drawn to certain colors or certain types of clothing and colors, music, all of these are an indication of a soul's ability coming forth and recognizing what it has seen before. So, and it's not to be used as scary, but it's useful. And some people say, well, why do you want to go back to past lives? Well, when we come on Earth, and these are my opinions now, mind you, when we come on Earth here, we come to perform a certain function, to become a better servant, a better friend, a better source of the love of God, a better human being, wife, daughter, whatever. And in the doing of our work, in the following of our mission or our contract here, we gain and we lose. And that we become awareness of our soul's connection to the source or to God, or we lose and doing things that are selfish and self-centered. So in the moving forward of learning how to be a better human being, we gain knowledge and wisdom and understanding, which is why we can play musical instruments, do so well in certain games, or have a facility for painting, or anything of a number of gifts, because they are gifts that we've had before, we've used before, and we've really shined them up, so to speak, and brought about a greater use for them. So they are there for us to use as a gift in another lifetime. If we know we have been in a lifetime, and I wanted to know myself what lifetimes were going on so I could be a better person, so I could know what I've gone through, because I really have a dislike of having to repeat everything more than once. It's a boring to me to repeat things over and over again. But finding out what my former life was very helpful in getting to understand who I am today and why I am today, why I am the person I am, and how I came to be the way I am. There are a number of really interesting lifetimes if you get into them. Everybody has interesting lifetimes. And with very, very few exceptions, all people on Earth have lived before. Very few exceptions to that rule. Most souls are here because they can learn better here on this Earth plane about faith and love and understanding. And that's part of why we're here, to develop a relationship with people in faith and understanding. And sometimes, so I can go into some personal things here. When I was little, I had an absolute passion for learning everything about prehistoric times. It was absolutely fascinating to me to consider dinosaurs and what have you. And a lot of kids do have that, don't they? What do you think it is that attracts these little ones so much to prehistoric dinosaurs? And I think part of it is that they may have lived on this Earth time at those times when dinosaurs did roam the Earth. And so they are familiar with the creatures. I also know that I read everything I could, and I still have an absolute fascination with archaeology, which may mean that either I really lived in olden times and loved it, or I used to dig up old bones. Either of which is viable, but in this lifetime, as much as I like archaeology, digging up old bones is not exactly my top priority for living life in these days. And so part of the lifetime that you would want to look up is, who were you then, and why were you here, and did you achieve the goals that you set for yourself when you came to live on this Earth plane? That's basically the type of question that I usually ask myself and what I thought when I was looking into past lives. There are a couple of ways to look into your past life, and one of them I learned through Joseph Weed's book, and I can't remember the name of it, but he was a Rosicrucian. And I'm terrible on names like this, so please forgive me. At any rate, one of the ways to learn how to tell your own past life is to sit in a quietly in a room that's somewhat dark, and it doesn't have to be at night, so we're not saying to go sit in the dark, but darkened. And as you are sitting there, sit in front of a mirror, okay? Have a candle in the room. I say a white candle, not because of superstition or anything else, but simply because a white candle is more incandescent. That is, it sheds more light than other colors of candles. So it's better to have this white candle there. The other thing is, when you do, sit down in front of the mirror and just have it quiet around you and focus. Looking into the mirror, you can put the candle to your left or your right. Left might be easier. So it reflects into the mirror, and concentrate on looking into your own eyes. Okay? Just look deeply into your own eyes. Try not to blink too much. I know your eyes will tear. That's a given. But just concentrate and keep in mind, like you would in meditation, keep in mind your focus, that what you are looking for is to see, start off with an easy one. What was the most important lifetime that I am, what is the most important lifetime prior to this one? Okay, what lifetime that I have lived before has made the most, a greatest impression or has the biggest impact on the life I am living now? And you just keep that thought in your mind and know that it is for the highest and greater good. And after a while, you will begin to see things change, okay? And by that I mean you're going to be aware that you might get a little bleary-eyed, teary-eyed. But what will also happen is if you continue to just look into your eyes and blink a little bit, you will find that the mirror will start to get somewhat cloudy. Okay? It will get cloudy. And as it gets cloudy, you might think you're in a fog, but actually you're not. But this is a good thing, because as it gets cloudy, then out of that cloudiness, you should start seeing some mist, a form, a face beginning to form. Okay? For me, it was like a skull. That's what I first saw. And don't be startled, because when you start to build up a face, if you were to reconstruct a face, you would start with a skull, just like forensic pathologists do. You start with a skull, and then after the skull comes the muscles and the blood vessels, and in fairly short order, there you are with a face of who you were in a past lifetime, looking back at you. That's what you will see. For me, the first lifetime, and one that wasn't the first lifetime, but was the one that was the most important at that time, this is back in the 70s, I think, my face changed into that of a monk. And I knew it was a Tibetan monk. I just knew it. These things you just know. When this starts to happen to you, you just know it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You are aware of the information, and you accept it. It's a knowing. And it's nothing scary. It's fascinating. So as a Tibetan monk, and I wanted to know why that was, and during that lifetime, apparently, I gained a great deal through prayer and meditation. And I did a lot of seeking, soul searching and seeking in that lifetime. And at the time in the 70s, I was very interested in learning more about the spirit and God and how we are all connected. As I was raised a Catholic, I was pretty much bound by my religious views that were pretty pretty narrowly defined. And I was exploring and beginning to realize that not all the answers came through the church and the teachings. And so I decided to start on a journey of my own, which was very, it was exciting, but it was also scary, because this is something that we were not supposed to do. But at any rate, I understood at the time that I was a Tibetan monk, and apparently I had gained a lot in that lifetime through a lifetime of prayer and meditation and discipline. I have always had a flair for things of an oriental nature, and Tibetan things do touch me deeply. I've had a few past life readings myself with others, I've been told I've been a, I was a nun in Germany in the Middle Ages, and in a contemplative order. Oddly enough, we get to be everything. But the greatest effect that we have is when we are taking in a lifetime and doing what we are supposed to be doing, because each lifetime that we come here on this earth, we are here to grow. And this is what growth is all about, agreeing to fulfill our mission. And then sometimes that's a pretty rough mission, I tell you. You begin to wonder, whatever were we thinking when we agreed to come in on this earth plane? In the Tibetan monk lifetime also, I know I would belong to the those monks who wore the yellow robe, not the red robe, but the yellow robe, the saffron-colored robe. I do remember having another lifetime when I came in of being a merchant, a Chinese merchant, some kind of, I don't know if I could give you a name to it. A leader of the people, not a, necessarily a warlord, but you know, some kind of nobility or something like that. And I actually did had fun being a merchant in those days, or actually ordering business and having to hide it, because apparently in the time that I lived then, being a merchant was beneath you, and you were supposed to just sit and let everybody wait on you. That's how you could tell how wealthy someone was, because they didn't have to lift a finger to do anything, which I always felt very interesting. But I seem to have enjoyed that, and which is where I got my love of doing business, apparently, because I do love being in business and creating contracts and working with people. Some of the other things that, in that lifetime, I did die. And in some lifetimes, you know, you be prepared to move to the lifetime. But ask what it was that you were supposed to learn in that lifetime. What lesson did you gain? Did you gain or lose? Did you achieve your objective? What was it all about? Because lifetimes tend to be building one on top of another, just like building blocks in life. As I said, I'm encouraging anybody who would like to have a mini reading. All you have to do is come on and talk to me a few moments, and I can give you a reading on a past life, because I think it's a fun thing to do. So please don't be shy and give me a call. At any rate, the other lifetimes are just going to come in place. When you do this, looking at lifetimes in front of the mirror, by the way, you will be able to pick up some activity in the mirror. At first, it won't be that way. When you sit and look in that mirror and your features become very clear, you may start getting names. You will get definitely the age you lived in, the country, the geographic location, and you may get likes and dislikes and people around you and so forth and so on. And in that questions, when you're in that mode, in that interdimensional reality, which is what exactly you are in, another vibrational dimension, ask yourself, what were the lessons I was supposed to learn? What did I learn? How did I gain? What did I lose? And are there any gifts that I earned in that lifetime or expressed in that lifetime that I could use now or can help me now here in this lifetime? And believe it or not, you will be getting your answers to your questions. you know, not everybody was a great high personage all the time. Sometimes you find yourself in a lifetime that is very humble. And please understand, sometimes those lifetimes that appear to be the most humble, at least from what we consider to be an important standpoint here on this earth, is the one that where we grew the most, where we developed a quality of soul that was very, very important for us, that we learned patience or kindness or charity, or we learned to be non-judgmental, or we learned persistence or understanding or humility. You see, these lifetimes that we do live are opportunities that we use as a gift to grow and to serve each other. So, yeah, I had a lifetime, you know, as a farmer tilling the soil. I've had lifetimes where I was a rabbi. And a couple of people I've met, I won't tell you who they are, of course. There was one gentleman that I did hypnosis on, past lifetime, and he rode with Genghis Khan. And he was absolutely horrified at what he did as a barbarian under Genghis Khan, who swept from the steppes of Asia into Europe and destroyed and killing and doing all sorts of atrocious things that he just said just shocked him. He couldn't believe he would do something like that. But he understood now what it was. And in that lifetime, there was a woman that he kind of remembered, and he had killed the woman. I won't tell you how, but he had caused this woman's death, okay, by his own hand. And that woman from that lifetime is today his wife today. And he has treated her with such respect and courtesy and is so giving to her that he recognized that having hurt her and taken her life in one lifetime, he has now met her in this lifetime to make up for what he did to her in another lifetime. These are the things we're talking about that you find out when you go into past regression. You find out why the relationships you have that are very close and loving and caring, or whether they're distant and difficult. These are the relationships that you find yourself developing and learning about and understanding. And yet again, the same gentleman in another lifetime, he was born in Holland. And in that lifetime, he was an only child of, let's say, a merchant family. And he never married in that lifetime. He lived an extremely lonely existence, very lonely. And he amassed a fortune, but he never spent the money on anything or anyone. And from that lifetime, he learned what it was like to be totally and solely alone and not have a family or anyone else who cared much about him, or not many friends or anything else. But these were soul qualities that he himself sought to develop and to learn. I have someone else that we went down, and someone who was a former pope, one of the early popes in the Catholic Church. I won't tell you which one it was, but she at the time was a male, so it wasn't the female pope that floats around from time to time, but she was a pope. And even as a little child, she would make an altar and pretend she was a priest saying Mass. This is when she was around 4 or 5. She pretends she was saying Mass. Interesting, isn't it? Because she never understood that and how familiar things were. And yet, when she went to that lifetime where she saw she was a pope and how what her church was, and that she did live in Rome, it was absolutely fascinating. And it answered questions within her that made her understand. And going into past lives is specifically that, to answer questions about who you are, what you are, what you expect from life, and what you're supposed to accomplish, and what your relationships are all about. Yet another person came in, And let's see, what's another lifetime? Oh, as a priestess at a temple. Edgar Cayce has a lot of good books, a lot of interesting reading from the ARE at Virginia Beach, Virginia, at the Association for Research and Enlightenment. If you want to learn more about these things and or even get some readings from the ARE, feel free to call them. I don't have their phone number at my fingertips tonight, but do feel free to call them. They are in Virginia Beach, the Association for Research and Enlightenment. They are wonderful organizations that will help you with any materials that you would like to find, and they are very kind, and they have a bookstore and a library. So all of them are mostly volunteers, and they're just wonderful folks. But, you know, finding out your past lifetime is simply a tool to help you become a better human being in this lifetime. Knowing where you've been and helps you to know where you're going. Now, in lifetime regressions and going to get readings of past lifetimes, there are certain characteristics or traits or qualities that you might have that nobody else in your family has, or maybe even you know, their outstanding qualities or something. You feel like the odd man out in the family. You never quite fit in. Past life regression usually provides the answer to these. Qualities that stand out, like being a good navigator or being interested in the environment or doing cosmetics or computers, all usually have a basis in another lifetime where you worked at these skills. Being a natural born talent in singing or playing a musical instrument comes from several lifetimes usually where you did indeed play instruments or sang. We use these talents to bring us forward, and the creative talents that touch our soul within are so very, very important to develop. There are friends of mine who had the ability in school to just listen to a piece of music and sit down and play that music from beginning to end without missing a beat. I don't know. I can't think of how much. I just never would have enough to give in my lifetime to have that talent. I would love to be able to hear a piece of music and sit down and play it. Oh, Lord, I'd give anything to do that. And yet these gifts that these, and two of the ladies had at any rate, they didn't think very much of them, which usually left me gibbering mad because I'd have to rehearse over and over the musical piece I was playing. But at any rate, these natural talents do come from lifetimes where we have built them up. And using them to bring laughter and smiles to the other people and joy is very, very important. Finding out how you do well in business. Maybe you've had a lifetime as a merchant. You could also call on those skills that may be dormant in you. You might go into a lifetime, you found out you were particularly good in a field of writing, for example. You could ask yourself to bring that gift forward and use those skills in writing today to help you in college or in your work or in your office or to write a book. There are a number of people who have used past lives. One of the writers I'm thinking of is Taylor Caldwell, who wrote Dear Inglorious Physician and another book that were very popular a number of years ago. And she went into past lifetimes and recorded what she saw from her dreams and her belief in past life regression. And so she wrote books. There are a number of writers who have done this. Some other lifetimes, people go through in order to learn to be compassionate or understanding. It sometimes also gives us an understanding why people seem to have certain types of suffering in this lifetime, like someone who's born blind or becomes blind or is crippled or has an illness that hits at a certain age. Sometimes when we go into past life regression, we find out why people have this, and often it's something we have chosen in order to foster a gift of giving of ourselves in this lifetime for compassion and understanding for ourselves or for others. It's a very interesting field. And when you are looking into past lifetimes, again, you can ask to see different lifetimes, ask about different gifts. After a while, as I said, in looking in the mirror, it might take you as much as 2 weeks to learn to do this and have it respond fairly quickly. You're going to be able to sit down in front of the mirror and almost immediately you're going to be able to go into this particular state where you can see everything that you're hoping to see in the mirror very, very quickly. And just ask yourself the questions you want. The other thing that you can do, by the way, is you can see into the future with this. And that's another thing that people don't really understand. All futures are not written in stone. They change as often as you change your mind and how you handle things in your life. That's how often your future changes. But you can get a good idea of what's going to happen by going into the future, by going into 5 or 10 years in the future, and you can do this on your own if you so desire. You might want to take some hypnotherapy sessions first. Not necessary, but it would help, maybe, to do that. I'm trying to think of some of the other things that I can give you as guidelines here. Whatever you do, don't be afraid, because nothing that you do like this is going to harm you. That much I can tell you. None of this kind of work that you do has the ability to cause you any damage at all. So I want to make that very clear. When you go into this, this is just a simple additional aspect of you finding a soul attribute that you can use to access information to make your life a better place and to give sense and meaning to your life. That is all that these are tools are for. And that's another thing that, you know, it's very, very important to understand that all of the things that that are given to us on a day-to-day basis, these are simply tools to use to make our lives a better and a happier place. And I'm emphasizing that because sometimes people get stuck in the area of it's a woo-woo or it's frightening or horrifying. It's not. It's just a part of our daily life, like breathing in and breathing out. It's something that we have the right to expect within our own beings, if that makes sense to you. Another lifetime you may have, if you are an environmentalist, is you may have been a Native American at one time. And many people who were Native Americans are very much into conservation now. There are also groups of people who get born together, and past lifetimes will also tell you this. People who have experienced certain cultural ages, certain world events, that come and go as a group. For example, I believe it was in reading Edgar Cayce, maybe in someone else as well, that those who died in World War II, those who were killed in the Holocaust, and those who died in war, were to learn the lesson of no prejudice, to be non-judgmental, and to look at other human beings with compassion. But what happened with a lot of souls is they came back fast after World War II. Part of them came in, which is why we had the Beatnik generation, the Peace Stone generation, where they didn't want war. Those were souls that had been killed and were reborn and did not want to go through fighting again, hence the peace movement. They understood the peace movement. There were those who did not vibrate at such a high level and had thoughts of anger and fear and retribution. These people have a tendency to be born in the Middle East, either as Arabs or Israelis. And so they have set up that same anger and hostility back and forth. just like a group of souls that may have been slave owners in the South at one time during the Civil War period were later born as Black Americans, and they still have that same anger and prejudice, only this time towards white people. See, anger and prejudice of one kind or another, whether it's religion or cultural or something of that nature, it's the same emotion. It just has a different name on it, depending on what side of the fence you're born on. And those who carry this anger in their heart or their belligerence or their prejudice or whatever you wish to term it are doomed to come back and repeat it, switching sides until such a time as they balance out and understand that all people are children of God. All people are equal. All are living one-on-one. And going into past lifetimes can give you some of this heads up on this information. There have been some people, for example, who, maybe a fear of being in an enclosed elevator or in an enclosed room. This also happens. And it may be that they suffocated to death or were smothered to death in another lifetime. And when they understand this and they come out of this going into the past life and being released from this fear, then they find that they no longer have that fear of being smothered or being in a closed, a small space. So past life regression can heal ills and fears and phobias as well. This is what we're hoping to do, what we hope to do. I mean, it's fascinating to find out that you are the Queen of Sheba or, you know, King Farouk or somebody like that, and you pranced around and so forth. But, you know, in this lifetime at least, you know, you're not that person still, so you've got to have grown. But it'll give you understanding. It'll help you understand yourself better. And it's much more fun to play with. The other things that I think are very interesting is if you can learn from your past life and integrate what you learn into your everyday life now, and you can go back upon occasion and then check out how you're doing. Because when you go into a regression or you can see your own past life, you can ask to have your guide come with you. And I'll tell you something, seeing your guide in the mirror is a pretty powerful thing. Because if you ask for your angel guide or your guardian to be there with you, that guide very often will show up. Okay? Again, it's individual to each individual. It's a little bit unique, a little bit different, and that's what's so fascinating about it. No two people show up the same way. Some of the other issues that you might have would possibly be with regard to what can you use the information for. Well, the information that you want to use it for is to be a better person every day in your life. If you can go into your past and change things, which, by the way, you can do, you can change some of the incidents that happened in your past life that are repeating this lifetime to change a habit formation. You can repattern or reprogram yourself in doing this kind of work. You can change the outcome and move that outcome moving forward to change and correct any objects that are stumbling blocks for you now. You can let them go. You can let go of emotional blocks and mental blocks and bad habit patterns and thought patterns and look into the future to see how it has changed your life. You can reprogram your future. You can put yourself on a new track. The most wonderful thing about all of this is self-empowerment, the ability to change what's going to happen to you. Instead of sitting back and saying, oh, poor me, you know, life's dealing me a really bad hand, you can turn around and say, I choose to have life bring to me a full hand. And this is a wonderful thing, I think. I've used it myself in my lifetime to change things that are happening around me. If I didn't like what was happening, then I did go in. We go in with the help of someone to do a reading and work on finding out where the origin of this problem or this obstacle or whatever it was that was challenging me originated, change it, go back in time, if you will, and change it to a different outcome, bringing forth that change all the way into the present, so it would impact the future, so I don't have to keep living that thing over and over again. As I said, I don't like repeating things over and over again. It's very, very boring. Groundhog Day is funny, but it's it's really, really tells a tale of truth. Again, you know, I'd like you all to consider calling in or have somebody call in and ask about a past life reading, because they're fairly easy for me to do. Someone who might have an interest in who they were or what they were in another lifetime, or a question you have. Or if you've had a feeling about who you were, if I'd be glad to talk to you about it, please call in to the BBS radio, and they'd be glad to put you on. Also, you can reach me, because I do give readings. I do past life regressions. I do charge for my services, however, but you can reach me at 202-387-2080. At Multiple Pathways or Psychic Worlds. Again, that's 202-387-2080. I do give readings, and I do psychic readings, and I do regressions, past lives. I do work with moving into future lives and work with fears and phobias. So I'm more than happy to talk to anybody who'd like to call me. But meanwhile, on the radio, you can get as many readings free if you want to. At any rate, I would like to continue on with discussing this matter. I enjoyed talking to people last week about dream interpretation. And again, that's another place where you can find that you've lived a past life. If you have a dream that seems to recur and you're wearing certain clothes very often, and it feels really, really strong, real to you, there's emotion in it, that usually is an indication of a past life. We all have flashes of deja vu, which means to see again, or to see it over again. And that's part of what we are. Little children are more likely to be connected to their past life memories than adults, because we tend to forget them and put them aside. They're more likely to come out in dream worlds, or when we start looking and growing and expanding our awareness. Any time that it's important for you to have any information from your past life, you will have that information given to you. The changes that have happened in this world through the energy has been absolutely magnificent in these last 10 years or so, 10 to 15 years or so. So many more people are able to be able to tap into the new energies, or the energies that have already existed and are simply more available to us, more aware, more accessible to us. And a lot of folks are going and taking charge of their own life through this type of medium. But that is by being their own psychic, being their own hypnotherapist, being their own guidance counselor, and opening up and listening to their inner souls, telling them and giving them advice and guidance, because this is how we were created. Each of us has the ability to reach into our own being and receive the highest possible truth, the highest possible information, and the best guidance that there is by believing in ourselves and trust. And that's something that's very, very important. That's something that we walk through this earth plane and we get pretty much battered by the illusion of whatever is around us. And we forget that we are all spiritual beings, and that this great and blessed world that we're walking in has the opportunity to give us many, many life lessons. And it's kind of blows my mind sometimes when I look where I was a couple of years ago to where I am today, and how much I've grown, because I made the choice to grow. I made the choice to leave fear behind, and that is the false experiences appearing real. And how much I have changed, and the circumstances in my life have changed, because I made that commitment to myself that I did not like what was going on, and I could change it, and I had the opportunity to change. And once it bore on me that I was the mistress of my own fate and I could do what I wanted to. I was able to change. And it's been a slow but steady progress. And I have miracles that happen in my life all the time now. Daily miracles. Friends.
You have a caller online?
I have a caller on the line? Oh, good. Welcome
Hi.
To the Higher Dimension.
Hi, this is Janet. I'd like to have a past reading, please.
Okay, you want a reading, Janet, right?
Yes, I would love one.
Okay. Just talk to me for a moment, Janet, okay? I tune into your voice, that's how I do it.
Okay.
Okay, where are you from?
I'm from Maine.
Maine?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. Do you like it up there?
Well, actually, yes. I just moved up here from Boston.
Oh, I can almost hear that Boston accent.
Yes.
My godfather was from Boston. He was down here, and he never lost it. But, Jane, it seems to me what I'm getting is that, let's see. What I'm feeling is that you have a real love of the outdoors at times, don't you?
Excuse me?
And you feel very close to nature at times.
Yes.
And then there are other times when you're not so crazy about it.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
It's almost a fear?
No, not so much a fear.
No fear?
No.
Okay. Well, my feeling...
Coyotes, yes.
Pardon?
Except for the coyotes, yes.
Coyotes, okay.
Yes.
Well, yeah, that's a form of fear, all right. My feeling is that you were in early America. And I'm getting a very strong sense that you were. Did you feel that was very familiar to you when you went back up to Maine? Did you feel comfortable in that area?
Yes.
Okay. Sort of like a homecoming?
Yes.
Okay. My feeling is you were here back in the colonial days, and I mean early, early colonial days. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
My feeling is that you were one of the earlier pioneers.
Really?
Uh-huh. And my feeling also is that you were perhaps a fur trader.
A what?
A fur trader.
Oh, my.
Yes. You traveled.
Mm-hmm.
You liked the solitude.
Yes.
You liked being away from the bustle of the town and people.
Yes.
Okay? You still like that?
I still like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Too many people gets you too crowded. My feeling is that this is one of these lifetimes where you did gain because you did good work, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You were a fur trader. You were a bit rough around the edges, but you weren't a thief, okay? You respected life, and I think you got along well with the Indians, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So my feeling is that... you had a fairly good life as life was considered in those days. You did not have a whole bunch of responsibilities at any given time, and that's the way you liked it.
Yes, and that's the way it is today.
Is that the way it is today?
Yes.
And also, part of that was the ability that what you're seeking is the solace of solitude.
Yes.
That came with that lifetime and the reflection of that lifetime of the joy and peace that is that exists in Mother Nature.
Yes.
And that sings to you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you do have it, and my feeling is part of that was that that there was another lifetime that you had where you were in... It was a briefer lifetime,
mm-hmm.
And it was also, my feeling it was in Europe, but it was much harsher,
mm-hmm.
More primitive life,
okay.
And that in that lifetime it was more of a struggle to live.
Yes.
Okay, and as a result, you had, mm-hmm. And in that lifetime, you were also, you've had a number of lifetimes as a male, I see.
As a male?
Huh? As a man. As a man. You've had a number of lifetimes as a man. And my feeling is in this lifetime, It was around the Ice Age. And life was no fun for anybody anywhere.
Right, right.
Okay. But still, you survived, okay? But it was not a long life. People did not live very long, especially those who faced the weather like you did.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you were independent. But on the other hand, you also enjoyed being out in nature, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But that lifetime was rough on you, which is sometimes why you get a kind of an uneasy feeling.
Yeah.
You're not sure why. You know, if everything's going along fine, but then all of a sudden you feel a little uneasy and a little uncomfortable, and then it passes.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That, yes, you are.
Okay. Well, there you have it. You're where you're supposed to be, my dear. And
thank you.
You're where you're supposed to be for your development of your soul.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. You were easy. See, it's so easy. If you wanted a longer reading, you can call me and we can arrange for a longer one. But I'm so glad you called. Thank you.
I'm glad I called, too. And I can see that a lot of the traits that I've had through my past life have carried through to this life.
Absolutely.
Which is quite amazing.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a great night.
You too, darling. Thank you. Okay, if anybody else wants to call, we don't have much time left, but I'm so delighted. At any rate, I have so much fun doing these readings. Honest to goodness, you know, it's a joy because I always find something that surprises me, something I've not run into before. It's so much fun. That's part of what doing this work is. It's all about having fun and enjoying who and what I am. Now, let's see. Part of this is that I'd like all of you to be able to try it and try the candle in the mirror and see if you can come up with something like that, your own reading. I would love to have you try it and then get back to me maybe next week or the week after when I'm on and let me know how this experiment went for you, because it's a very simple, easy one to do, and it takes no time at all, really, to get done. And wanted to let you know again that you can reach me at 202-387-2080, and I'm Phyllis Pricer, and you're listening to In Higher Dimensions on BBSRadio.com, and we were expecting to be here next week with Dr. Richard Schuller, a very nice gifted gentleman from New York, and he's our guest. And a minister and a psychic and a whole bunch of stuff. So it should be a really nice show next week. I hope you enjoyed the one we had this week. I'm trying to get everything said I can before we go off the air. As you can tell, I'm chatting around. And wanted to remind you again that Comfort One Shoes at Union Station in Washington, D.C., wonderful place to get the most comfortable, up-to-date, modern style shoes, Euro comfort. I buy my shoes there all the time, espadrilles, walkers, high heels, men's and women's styles, very elegant, very comfortable. At 202-408-4947, that's Comfort One Shoes. And continuing on for a few moments with the past life readings, if there's anybody else who would like to call before we go off the air, I'd be delighted to have you call in and see if we can give you a reading. I remember that one of the other first lives that I had talked about my being a priestess in a temple, and I hadn't thought much about that. And I had read until I read about Edgar Cayce, and he talked about the Temple Beautiful and those that were there during the early Egyptian times. And it was absolutely fascinating. I love reading his books and the books that are written about Edgar Cayce and going to the library and browsing there, which I have done. And I can highly recommend that to you. Some other things that might be considered of use to you is reading books on reincarnation, I always believe in a lot of education, because that way you know what questions to ask, and you also know where you're going and what's happening. Yes.
We're coming to the end.
Okay. Well,
thank you.
Thank you very much for listening in to the Higher Dimensions on BBS Radio. I am so glad you tuned in today. Have a wonderful week, and remember, we're going to have Dr. Richard Schuller next week. God bless. Have a wonderful week, and take care. Thank you. I'm Phyllis Pricer with Higher Dimensions.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.